Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name is Murray Shanks. Do you remember the story of the woman at the well? It's found in John chapter 4. Jesus and the 12 disciples are traveling north through Samaria, and they come to an ancient well. The disciples have gone off into town to buy some food, and Jesus, tired as he was, sat down by the well to rest. And as he sat there, a woman came to draw water, and they started up a conversation. And eventually Jesus said to her, this is found in John chapter 4, verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So Jesus said that those who give themselves to him would receive living water. The Spirit of God himself is that living water coming to live within you. I want you to use that God-given faculty of your mind, your imagination, to imagine the Holy Spirit's presence washing, flooding through your person like living water, filling all the various areas of your life. I often find it helpful to think of my life as being like a large house full of many rooms. Some of those rooms are open to God, some are still closed off. Now, just because you've made a decision to give yourself to Jesus and you've invited his Spirit to live within you doesn't mean that he immediately has access to every area of your life. You can, and I believe most of us do to some extent, have certain areas locked off. These areas become off limits to the Spirit of God, and for some people they can remain locked for many, many years. They become no-go zones where people can't even talk about the issues and the behavioural patterns which flow from these areas of their life. But as his Holy Spirit washes into an area, a room of your life, part of what he does there is that he will keep you from ever again being thirsty for the empty promises found in those rooms. That is, from being driven and ruled by the ungodly and unsatisfying desires that naturally come from those rooms still under the control of the flesh. A couple of chapters later, John unpacks this further, quoting Jesus again. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So we're clearly speaking about the Holy Spirit coming into your life, satisfying cravings and longings, and then flowing like a great river of living water out of your life to others. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 3, we find there Paul praying that believers would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that they may be filled with all the fullness of God. And by the power at work within us, he says, that is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. Now, I've seen this verse used to justify all sorts of things based around the idea that our part is to ask and imagine, and then God will give us more than we could even imagine asking for. But Paul is, when you look at the whole passage, simply speaking about loving people, and very specifically, Jews loving Gentiles. For us, the impact of this today is that as we allow God's Spirit to infiltrate every part of our lives, we will simply love all people with the love of God. So what might the areas, the rooms in the house of our life, which may be shut to God, what might they be? I mean, it's good to name them because by their very nature, they tend to be hidden from us. Their existence may be blindingly obvious to everyone else, but to us, they are often hidden. This is why we need to listen to our brothers and sisters as they gently help us, and we help them, to identify these issues in our life. A good place to start is with the Ten Commandments, found in Exodus 20, and the Sermon on the Mount. So have a look at, say, Matthew 5 to 7. Another great passage of Scripture which helps us identify these areas is in 1 Peter. Now, Peter said that those who love and trust Jesus will rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, with genuine mutual love pouring from their hearts. And then he says, ridding themselves of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. These habits and patterns of behavior, they're kind of like the door labels or signs. Often you can't see them yourself, but in others we can often see them glaringly. We need the Holy Spirit to help us see these doors in the house of our life, which are shut to Him. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Just for a moment, try to, I mean, maybe not if you're driving, but shut your eyes, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Take sometime tonight or whatever, and just sit quietly and pray, Lord, show me, help me to open that door to you. Now, we need to just think these through. So malice, what is malice? Well, malice is a desire to harm, to hamper, to frustrate, to trip up, to disturb another. Lord, if there's malice in my life, help me to see that. Lord, come into that area of my life and transform it, change it, wash me so that I would no longer be a person of malice. And we could pray the same thing about deceit. I mean, we need to ask ourselves that question. Do I paint myself as being something that I am not? Am I lying to myself and to others? Lord, show me if there is deceit in my life. And the same can be said about hypocrisy. Do my actions line up with my words and my beliefs? Lord, show me if hypocrisy is something in my life that needs to be dealt with. Come in and cleanse that room, Lord. Envy, is there envy, any envy lurking within the hidden hallways of my life? Lord, show that to me. Transform that part of my life. Slander, speaking lies about another, that largely flows from malice, doesn't it? When we slander somebody, when we say things. And as Christians, we can get very good at kind of hiding our slander so that it looks like it's not, but that's what it really is. I often think it's good to ask myself, would I say that about the person if they were standing here in the room with me? And invariably the answer is no, I wouldn't. These are really important questions for us to ask. So I would point you again to that verse 1 Peter 2, 1, to the Ten Commandments, and also to the Sermon on the Mount. They're a very good kind of starting point for us to ask some questions of ourselves with the Lord's help. And we ask that He would reveal to us the areas where there are doors shut in our life. May the Lord bless you today as you consider these things.